Lori, another week on the Travel Vertical podcast, and I know, unfortunately, you're a little bit under the weather this week, so thank you so much for joining me.
Sorry for my voice.
Oh, no, your voice, it's angelic as always.
Oh, you're too kind. So we wanted to talk about people and jobs.
Yes, let's do it. In fact, what are you seeing out there, Lori?
Well, the big news of last week was that David Whitaker has been named as the incoming president and CEO for the Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Now, that's a big move, right?
That's a big move. It's been a six-month search.
Wow.
Nationwide. But David Whitaker, who departs from Choose Chicago, is actually going home. He was with the CVB in Miami for 17 years. So after that, he went to take chief roles in Toronto and then in Chicago, and now he's coming back to Miami.
Well, if there was ever a testament to never burning a bridge, 17 years later, going back to Miami, he obviously kept a great relationship there, and it'll be good to see what he accomplishes in Miami.
Well, that was big news. Of course, Bill Talbert has been leading that DMO since 1990. So there's a lot of legacy going on around, you know, that very big position.
Wow. Okay, what else are you seeing?
The other big news is Roger Dow, president and CEO at U.S. Travel Association, has just announced his retirement next year, in July next year. He's been in that job for 17 years.
And built an incredible organization at U.S. Travel. I mean, that's another big shakeup in the industry as far as changes of people.
Yes, it's big. And of course, his past 10 years until COVID was one of accelerated growth, you know, that we all experienced year on year. But then with the pandemic, the challenges that began, and in the meantime, he is credited with building Brand USA as the destination's marketing organization, because, you know, we were lacking.
Yeah.
We were lacking one. So in the coming months, the national chair of U.S. Travel, which is Christine Duffy, she's president of Carnival Cruise Line, she will name a search committee. And the board will begin, well, that committee will begin with a transparent and inclusive process to identify that next leader at U.S. Travel Association.
Wow. Okay. It's going to be another fascinating search to watch there, because I'm sure there's a lot of amazing talent in the industry that'll be interested in taking the helm.
Yeah, there are a lot of things going on. We won't go through them all, but last week, the count was 175 DMO jobs.
Wow. That's wild. That's a lot of jobs.
They're all over. From the Northern Lights to the southern border. That was last week. What does it mean, from the Northern Lights? Well, I found a hotel in Iceland who wants a photographer to take pictures of the Northern Lights for a month. And what do you get? You get airfare, room, and board.
Sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
I think it's a good deal, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Should we go?
I don't have a camera.
You got a phone, Lori.
I know. Something tells me they're not looking for an iPhone. So that was that. And then, you know, from the Northern Lights to the southern border. So there's jobs in Texas. There's jobs in El Paso. You know, there's jobs in Hawaii. There's jobs in Maine. With 175 openings, whether people are looking for, you know, sales, convention sales, they're big jobs. But there are also state travel jobs like Connecticut.
With all these jobs open and all these opportunities, I would never say, okay, it's time to go get another job. But man, if anybody's ever been considering, oh, I'd like to try taking the next step in my career, or maybe there's a change of scenery would benefit me. If there was ever a time to have multiple options, it seems like now is it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, visit Florida, visit California, Boston, Seattle, North Carolina, travel Texas. But most importantly, share the news, because we need to get the industry back on its feet. So if it's not for you, just share it. This is just a benevolent service. You know, it doesn't cost anything to be on the list, and it doesn't cost anything to share the list.
Absolutely. I would say if a job's not for you, let's forward that email and get more people aware of the travel vertical as well, so that they can continue to provide these job opportunities. And I mean, I've never seen such a comprehensive list of jobs in the industry. But Lori, speaking of people, we have an incredible person today as our guest, and we've got our friend Karen, and Karen is with New York State's Finger Lakes region, and she's the executive director there. Karen, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you for having me. I am actually with the Cayuga County section of the Finger Lakes. The Finger Lakes is an amazing, big, powerful, wonderful destination. We're a small portion within it.
Even better, even better. We'll love to get your perspective today.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. You and I have been chatting a little bit about why it's so important for, especially for small DMOs, to, you know, find that nugget, to find that thing, to find that difference and the unique selling point that they might have. Because, I mean, the Finger Lakes is absolutely beautiful. I love the Finger Lakes, the wineries, the boating, the beauty of the area. But there's more. And I think finding that special nugget, finding that thing that, as you have done, that makes the place very special and that will bring in people to learn more is the thing we want to talk about today. And of all things, Harriet Tubman, that's your special.
It's a very special kind of special. And yes, Lori, like you said, we are within the Finger Lakes vacation region of New York State. And it is a spectacular region. Like you said, we have wineries, breweries, lakes, boating, fishing, but it's very similar across the entire region. They're all selling points that we can all claim. So each one of us likes to find that unique differentiator. Who are we as an individual destination that differs between this beautiful area that we live? And for us, it was a pretty easy find, I guess you should say. Harriet Tubman is an internationally known and respected individual. And we have her story. We have what we're kind of saying, the sequel to her story. If you've seen the Harriet Tubman movie, it focuses very much on her time as an enslaved individual and her escape from there and her role in bringing so many other enslaved up to freedom. So the Cayuga County and Auburn part of that story kind of starts after that, when she found the place she called home, not her home where she was born, but where she found herself, so to say. So that's part of the story that we own and we're trying to promote. Not many people know Auburn, New York, equated with the Harriet Tubman story. So we're trying to elevate that. And it's an important story, especially when we have so many assets that differentiate it. Now, if I may go back up to the Finger Lakes region in general, there's such an empowering story in the entire region when it comes to significant, powerful women and the strong women voting rights at Seneca Falls sells, which is our neighbor county in Seneca, right off Seneca Lake.
Where did Harriet Tubman come from, by the way?
Maryland. She was enslaved in Maryland. Maryland, they have a big national park that dedicates the story to her enslaved time. That's where they recently identified the home where she actually lived while enslaved in Maryland. And we have the Harriet Tubman National Park, historical park up here in Auburn as well. So together, they tell this wonderful story about her life, both sections of it.
So Karen, I would love to hear, because you're right, the first portion of her story is probably a large portion of the recognizable part of her story. Tell us about the second half. Tell us about your part of the story of Harriet Tubman.
I would love to tell you all about that. So Harriet Tubman ended up in this area, like I said, because it was filled with a lot of supporters of freedom messages. There was a lot of Quakers in the area. There were a lot of abolitionists and suffragists in the area. And one family in particular, the Seward family, invited Harriet Tubman to come back here after she freed herself and her parents. They ended up going all the way up to Canada, where they were not being persecuted. But eventually, the Sewards convinced her to come back to the Auburn area where she had passed and spent significant time. So she brought her parents here. The Seward family, specifically Francis Seward, sold part of land to Harriet Tubman. And this is once part of the story that I absolutely love to tell, because they wanted to gift this land to her, for her to have a home base. And Harriet Tubman refused to accept the charity of the land. She said, no, I want to own this land. I want it to be mine. So the Seward family came up with a payment plan to help her own her land. Here's where she built a home and where she became a businesswoman. She used to have a farm and she used to sell her pigs at market. She used to walk down the street and go by carriage with her father to go to market and sell the pigs. You know, she used to grow potatoes. She rebuilt her home. Right now, the Harriet Tubman home is the physical place where she lived, and it sits in right outside the city of Auburn. Her initial home was made out of wood, and it burnt down. So the home that we have there now, her and her family actually build the bricks themselves by hand and build this home. So when you approach it, you're literally standing in the place that she built with her own hands. This is a story that not many people know. And it's from here also that Harriet Tubman became a philanthropist. She raised money. She would seldom ever accept charity for herself and her life. But when it came for her work, when it came for her various trips through the Underground Railroad to free other enslaved, she would accept donations and she would go out there and raise money for these ventures. So she became a businesswoman, a philanthropist, a landowner. As a Black, previously enslaved, disabled woman. She was a landowner. She was a business owner. That part of the story has absolutely fascinated me every time I hear it, because so many of us nowadays and today can't overcome all those challenges to become the significant woman that she was. So I could go on forever, but that's a small part of the story.
I love it. I love it. From the destination standpoint, then, you've got a really unique, I'm going to call it an asset here, just because the story exists in your destination, that you've got an incredibly recognizable person, a historical figure, right? And you've got someone who has a very well-known part of their story. And you guys have kind of you can unlock the untold part of the story and provide that. It's such a unique thing for you to have in your destination, especially someone that was such an important historical figure as she was. Tell me how you're able to use that storytelling to promote the destination and generate more visitors and get more people exposed to the story.
Well, I'm going to answer that question in several different pillars, so to say. Number one, we have a plethora of assets that relate to her story. I mentioned the Seward family. We have the Seward House Museum. We've got the Equal Rights Heritage Center, which New York State built in Auburn, New York, because of its significant influence with the Equal Rights Movement. We've got Fort Hill Cemetery, which is where the Seward family and Harriet Tubman are both buried. We've got, I'm trying to go down my line here. We also have the story of Martha Coffin Wright. Recently, Dorothy Wickenden wrote a book called The Agitators, and it focuses on three strong female figures off Auburn, Frances Seward, Harriet Tubman, and Martha Coffin Wright. So that story is within the area as well. And then we've got strong affiliated products such as the Howland Stone Store Museum, which is right outside of Auburn, about 20 minutes south, which is the house of Emily Howland, which was a friend of Harriet Tubman, and also houses an amazing collection of authentic suffragist posters during the time of the 19th Amendment. So all these assets build the story. So we don't have only one location, of course, the Harriet Tubman National Historical Park and the Harriet Tubman home itself as part of those assets, but we have a variety. So as a DMO, it's a golden nugget even bigger because we have so many different players to bring together to tell the story. It also creates a lot of collaboration, but a lot of organization on the part of the DMO to tell the story cohesively and encourage each of these locations to tell part of the story so we can promote it.
Since you've worked on this so hard for so long, how can another destination, if they figure out, you know, what's their golden nugget? Maybe it's not Harriet Tubman. It's not, you know, the Underground Railroad, but it's something else entirely. But there must be something similar about finding it and promoting it that you could suggest to others.
That's perfect, because that was the second pillar I was going to talk about. It's also finding the people who represent that product within the community. So what we did is we put a committee together of prominent individuals of the area who kind of own part of that story, right? That they have some direct connection to either the product or the story of Harriet Tubman. So it's talking more generalizations as a DMO is leaning on the experts. right? We only have the knowledge and the assets available because there are people within our community who are the experts in that subject. So identifying within the community, whether it be a town historian, whether it be a museum curator, whether it be a long descendant of an individual that was significant of the area, getting their voices together. Because one thing that we're trying to ensure that this whole initiative carries on is authenticity. So a lot of the times when we hear something, we go to the committee and we say, okay, how do you feel about this? And is this the story that Harriet Tubman really wants to carry on? Whether it's Harriet Tubman or an indigenous community of the area or whatever your golden nugget, it is critical to align yourself with the authenticity and find those individuals who really own the story of the product you're trying to promote.
I'm glad that you answered it that way. And I'm glad that you incorporated authenticity into your answer, Karen, because there's so many micro stories from your destination. I think the real challenge is curating it into a comprehensive story that gives an authentic picture of the destination. So how have you been able to do that? How have you been able to pull all of these assets and stories together into a usable combined story of the destination?
I'll answer that one in two sections as well. Number one is that committee. Those individuals that we can say, all right, so how do we tell the story of Harriet Tubman as a farmer, right? What assets do you have? What have you heard? So it's number one is accumulating all that knowledge and hearing it from people who have spent so many years researching this information, right? And they own it. The other part is aligning with a marketing agency that's going to help you promote it, you know, craft the messaging, do the social media marketing and stuff, who also carries that same message. To us particularly, Harriet Tubman, especially in today's very difficult social environment, it was very important to partner with a PR agency that was partly Black woman owned. It's part of that authentic message that carries on the story, right? So it's trying to incorporate that authenticity at various levels in walking the walk, not just saying, I want to do this and then chalking it off for somebody else to be responsible for it, but being integrated at each stage and trying to question yourself, who's involved, how are they involved, and how does it really stand to the authenticity of the foundation that I'm trying to promote?
Yeah, it makes me think about the time I went to a place called Ketchum in Idaho. And when I got back, I knew so much about Ernest Hemingway. You know, I really enjoyed meeting the historians and seeing all the photographs and having them take me to the place where he wrote, the place where he shot himself, you know, the place where he had his last meal. Just, you know, really immerse yourself in Ernest Hemingway for a couple of days. And I didn't think I was going to do that in Ketchum. I thought I was going to do that in Key West, you know, but the guy got around, didn't he? But about Harriet, now she's got a 200th birthday coming up. So that gives you even more impetus.
That's right. She sure does. The bicentennial was part of the push to craft this as one cohesive story and refocus a lot of our primary marketing around it. The bicentennial was also pretty recently uncovered that it was in 2022. For such a prominent individual, there's a lot of knowledge that has been more recently unearthed. So the fact that it was unearthed at her bicentennial of her birth is in 2022, in March of 2022, which March is also the date of her passing, gives a lot of power to that time of the year. So we're collaborating, it's a lot what this initiative is about, with several other museums and organizations statewide and throughout the Northeast that have some of our story. We're looking forward to creating some sort of a recommended itinerary, a passage, if you will, following Harriet Tubman's story from Maryland to Auburn, all the way up to Canada, because there's so many different locations that tell the story. And the bicentennial is such a wonderful, pivotal moment to gather all the data together.
So a question I have for you there, Karen, is obviously that's going to be a big PR push to be able to promote that event. What digital marketing tactics do you also have planned to prepare for that event?
That is when my brilliant brain outsources.
So you've partnered with your agency to be able to come up with that tactical plan.
Yes, as I said, we were very specific about whom we contracted to do this work. And we're working with Break the Ice Media as well as LaLue Public Relations, both based out of the greater Rochester area. Break the Ice Media is a 100% travel tourism focused PR and marketing agency. So they really know the messaging, the tone, the outreach, and where to get the message out there. Once again, we're trying to go through very authentic storytelling in the the social media outreach, telling those stories that are vetted through the committee and promoted out there. But a lot of that is still falling into place. So I don't have a very specific, detailed, technical answer for you.
Well, we'll look forward to getting back with you on that when it's done.
The marketing and PR rollout of it, yes, I will be back. That'll be a challenge in itself.
Just think how much more we all know about Alexander Hamilton than we knew before the musical. So what about
Absolutely.
This? Tell me, what about this $20 bill? When are we going to see the $20 bill with Harriet Tubman on it?
You know, it has been in the back of our minds for so long, and it's something that we really want to see come to fruition. And because you told me that you wanted to talk about this, I actually did do a little Googling ahead of time this morning, thinking, what is going on with this? And it is a lot of bureaucratic government level stepping stones that need to be crossed. I'm not in the government. I'm not about to tell anybody how to do their job and what should or should not be done. But one of the things that I did read about that they're trying to see that would bring the $20 bill forward faster is the staging of when these bills were scheduled to go out. And the $10 bill was scheduled to go out before the 20, so they're hoping to at least do a flip between those. So hopefully it pushes the release a little bit sooner. And from my quick research this morning, this is something that's been in the works for a long time. And the rollout of 2024 was in the plans for a while. So it's not that anybody's intentionally trying to push it out and make it disappear and not put priority in it. 2024, apparently, from what I read, was the rollout date for the new 20, even before there was discussion of Harriet being on the 20. Mm-hmm. But with Harriet being on the 20, it became more critical, more important, more emotional for individuals to see it. It wasn't just any random individual or moment. Not that it's ever any random individual that's chosen to be on the 20. But Harriet Tubman has so much more of an emotional connection with so many people because of the struggle and the freedom that she represents. But that's when we became so anxious to see it. And trust me, I'm anxious to see it roll out and to see her being honored and respected and acknowledged at such a grand level.
Absolutely. Me too. Looking forward to it. You know, some people, I was in Rhode Island. I was at the home of Gilbert Stuart, and he painted the portrait of Washington that's on the $1 bill. And somebody said, that's the one artistic image that more Americans see than any other single image. Now, I don't know if that's still true because we reach for plastic, but, you know, there you go. Anyway, so Harriet Tubman going on the 20, and there was a lot of competition for that space, wasn't there? She wasn't a shoe-in for that.
I don't have the answer to that one, Lori.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember reading
that. But I'm sure there were other candidates.
I think Susan B. Anthony was one of them.
All right.
So going back then to the most famous or most seen piece of artwork, is it the Visa logo now? Is there some designer that did the Visa rebrand that's feeling proud of being the most passed around piece of artwork?
Yeah.
Karen, a question I've got for you is, other destinations with a major historical figure that has a big part of their story in the destination. One example I could think of is Tupelo, Mississippi has Elvis's childhood home, and there's places all over the country that have these unique assets that are tied to a historical figure. What advice would you give them?
I think it goes back to the real story, engulf yourself with as many individuals that have that story and try to come up with a common ground. I'll share with you something silly that I shared with the committee that we put together for the same message. I am one of four daughters, a very powerful mother and a very involved father, and a grandmother who has had a very rough life story and has a lot of significant moments in her life. When us four get together and talk about grandma, sister one remembers things differently than sister two, than sister three. And this is so recent. This is my grandma's still alive, and we gravitate to different parts of an individual, different parts of the story. this is something that I discussed with our committee, because we need to be open and welcoming to everybody's interpretation that is genuine to them. So authenticity and genuineness when it comes to a character that's lived so long ago has some fuzzy areas around it. And we have to own the fact that it has fuzzy areas around it. And it's more of a common acknowledgement. This is a good way to go about it. One example that I'll give you of Harriet Tubman, we have the strawberry stroll. And there's a lot of some historians and some family members that feel that her favorite fruit was the strawberry. And others who say, "What? I don't see when she ever liked strawberries. Apples were her favorite, and she grew apples on the farm, and she loved her apples, right?" Well, unfortunately, we don't have Harriet Tubman to ask her, "Do you like apples or do you have strawberries?" And most likely, if we had Harriet Tubman to ask her, she would say, "Well, I like them both," right? So those are little things that make you question the authenticity. And my point is, no, we don't question the authenticity with it. It is a true, real, genuine interpretation of somebody who's close to the story. What we try to advise against is don't ask somebody who doesn't really own the story. You know, try to really surround yourself with individuals or organizations who care about the authenticity of the individual you're representing.
Yes, as you're investigating the story, it's not yeah, but, it's yes and, right?
Absolutely. And the more significant individual it is, the more that fussiness you're going to have, because people feel it and it's genuine to them, and you need to honor and respect that as well.
Great advice. Lori, anything to add there?
No, I love learning about Harriet Tubman. I'm excited that Cayuga County is going to help more people to learn about Harriet Tubman, the Underground Railroad, because not only was she a businesswoman, she was an activist. And it's a truly important story. And I think that, you know, there's going to be people who see her image on the $20 bill that say, "Who's that?" So we will get there. And I think you're doing amazing work to bring the story forward. Really exciting.
Adam, Lori, I guess if I can throw in another, like I said, word of advice and something you can get out of this is Cayuga County is not refocusing all of its marketing image and rebranding to represent Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman is one of our stories. You started the whole program, Lori, with talking about the Finger Lakes and how beautiful the Finger Lakes are. We're still a big part of the Finger Lakes, and a lot of our product is what attracts people to the entire region. Our wineries are amazing. Our breweries have fabulous award-winning product. Our fishing is world-renowned because we've got an amazing Lake Ontario and so many tributaries and lakes around us. So all those are very important stories for us. So it's just one and a very big, significant pillar, but it's one of the various pillars that make our destination a wonderful place to go to. So if another word of advice, if you want for other destinations, is don't pigeonhole yourself in it, but acknowledge and represent that this is a significant story of note for your destination.
That's another great piece of advice, Karen. Thank you so much. If people want to learn more about you or your destination, what's the best way for them to do that or to get a hold of you?
There's always the website, the number one place of landing, and that is www.tourcayuga.com and our various handles through social media, where, like you said, we have a yet-to-be-announced PR rollout and social media rollout. Right, Adam?
It's announced now.
Terrific.
Hey, Karen, thanks so much for taking the time. We've really enjoyed our conversation with you today, and I think it was very valuable for our listeners.
Thank you very much, Adam and Lori. Have a wonderful day.
And you. Thank you so much, Karen.